Red Film Radio. I'm Matt McCucci from the 68 Cannes Film Festival, joined by Kent Jones, director of Hitchcock Truffaut, presented in the Cannes Classics section. The film, of course, inspired by the legendary interview book by Truffaut with his idol Alfred Hitchcock. And so my first question to you, Kent, is what makes this book so special among fans and filmmakers and so on?
There's this tenderness. First of all, there's a they're both very emotionally reticent men, right? And then, but there's a tenderness that's shared between them. I was very touched by the fact that Hitchcock never wants to disagree. Ever. Whenever he disagrees, he just stops talking. You can tell that he's disagreeing, but he just doesn't, you know, he doesn't say, "I disagree." He just kind of clams up. And I found that really moving. But in terms of, like, the stuff that's in the movie, it's the warmth between them that I really was, you know, that's what makes it such compelling. I mean, when they were, after Serge discovered the tapes, he and Nicolas Sada edited them. So they were broadcast on the radio. Was it on Radio France or I can't even remember which, but they were broadcast on the radio. And Arnaud Desplechin was telling me that when they were on the radio, he and his wife were in a car and they were listening to them, and they were supposed to go to like a lunch or something like that, and he said they sat in the car for like 20 minutes because they couldn't bear to get out of the car. They wanted to listen to the end of the program. You know, it's mesmerizing, and I think it has to do with the warmth between them. And the complicity between two filmmakers. It's not a critic and a filmmaker, it's two filmmakers. And, you know, it's sparked by, you know, it's in those telegrams, the thing, you know, where he says, "Your letter brought tears to my eyes." It's like, it's not surprising. But the fact that he writes it, that's beautiful.
So how did you find the tapes of this meeting between Hitchcock and Truffaut?
How the tapes were found? Serge found them in a box in Truffaut's collection, right? I think it was in the 90s. But there's also a set of tapes at the Academy. So I think that Hitchcock kept a set and Truffaut kept a set. It's just that nobody, you know, had been interested. And I don't know where the tapes are for the conversations that they had around the time of Marnie and then again around the time of Torn Curtain. I have no idea where those are. I don't think anyone knows. And it's interesting because in the book, there's a lengthy discussion of the scene in Sabotage that we include in the film, but it's nowhere to be found in the tapes. So I don't know when they had that discussion or if they had it, but you know, it's not there. It's interesting.
Do you think the book is a definite take?
It's a take. You know, I don't think there is such a thing as a definitive take. It's just that as time goes by, Hitchcock seems more and more immense to me. I'm speaking personally, but I know a lot of other people would feel the same. I mean, you know, and John Ford feels immense too. But I think John Ford made his share of movies that he didn't really, you know, there were some movies that he made that he was less interested in than others. Hitchcock? I don't know. The movies that he talks about that he says are bad, they're just not. You know, I've seen Waltzes from Vienna. He says it's of no interest, it's my worst film, etc. I've seen it. It's this really lively little movie. So I don't think he really made any bad films. I'm not saying John Ford made bad films, but he made films that are indifferent, some of them. Not many, but you know.
You mentioned John Ford. I don't see a book like this having been made with a figure like John Ford. John Ford was far too protective of his style.
I think Hitchcock is too. Well, they're all protecting something. And they're protecting their own artistry. Because for them, you know, John Ford couldn't sit down and say to Daryl Zanuck, "Well, I'm an artist, don't tamper with my work." I mean, he would have been kicked off the lot, you know. I mean, maybe he was considered an artist a little bit more seriously than others, but still, you know. So I think that Hitchcock was able to talk about the practical side of his work very openly because he wanted to share it. I don't think John Ford cared about sharing the practical side of his work. Howard Hawks, you could say, you know, his engagement with his work is a little different because, you know, his films change and the way they look from cameraman to cameraman, studio to studio. So it's kind of different. But with Hitchcock, he's so involved, you know, in the form that he's able to speak of it. But when he's talking about other things like Catholicism, which I think Truffaut's right about Catholicism, he's not going to talk about it. It's just not going to be possible. Or when he talks to him about dreams, and he says, well, yes, I suppose so. That's probably me within myself. But he's not going to go there. On the other hand, you know, he's someone who, Arnaud was telling me that when Dominique Pigny was doing the exhibition, the Cocteau show in Paris, that Truffaut said whenever he was in Paris, he would always ask, Hitchcock would always ask, what about Cocteau? Has he made any new films? You know, what's he doing? You know, what's Cocteau doing? He was intensely interested in Cocteau. This is a man who knew, you know, a lot about art. He just didn't share it.
Isn't this concept of putting two filmmakers in a room together fascinating? Personally, I think it should be done more, don't you?
I think it might be interesting to put Pedro Costa and James Cameron in a room and see, you know, what develops. I don't know, you know. It's like, making films is really hard, and finding the money to make films is really hard, and planning them is really hard, and so taking that kind of time. There are a lot of interviews, you know, directors sit down and they talk to each other and stuff like that, but what he did is something else. It's what Olivier says in the movie. It's not just Truffaut making a book about Hitchcock. It's much more than that. I mean, it's as important in his own body of work as one of his films. It's, you know, perhaps more important than some of the films, right? That's not true of the Billy Wilder book. It's not true of the Richard Lester book. It's not true of Olivier's book about Bergman. You know, it's so in that sense, it kind of stands alone. The only thing that I could compare it with would be Marty Scorsese and Bertrand Tavernier finding Michael Powell living in a trailer, and really just rejuvenating his life and his career. And I was going to include something about that in the film, but it was too far away, you know.
It must not have been difficult to find people who would have been willing to talk about the impact of both Hitchcock and Truffaut had on them. But what made you go with the choice of filmmakers?
Because most of them are people that I know, some I know very well, others, you know, that I know them, and I knew that they would be interested, and I also knew that they weren't going to just sit there and say canned answers, you know, none of them. And I was, as I've said to people before, I was prepared for Fincher to say no. I just asked him, you know, and I haven't heard him talk about older films, and he was very much, and he said, oh yeah, you know, I know that book really well, and his experience was the same as mine, you know, he just knew the book, like, intimately, so that was great. It's a very fresh perspective that he has.
Thanks very much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.